Today, my dear faithful, is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things, as they also coveted, neither become ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee. And they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, we often hear of the terrors of Auschwitz, the biggest concentration camp in Poland. We hear of this terrible place most especially when a person discusses the Jewish Holocaust and the contempt and hatred the Nazis had for the Jews. What we often do not hear about is the persecution of Catholics, especially of priests, that went on during World War II under the Nazi regime. The Nazis despised the Catholic Church because the Church opposed it, and by her teaching influence, the Church led the people away from the Nazi ideology. In response, the Nazis persecuted the Catholic Church. Catholic schools and youth groups were shut down. Catholic leaders were arrested, tortured, and either sent to a concentration camp or condemned to death. Priests were slandered by gross calumnies in the press, and very often were sent to concentration camps as well. In fact, looking at Poland alone, 80% of the clergy were in concentration camps during World War II. One of the most famous victim priests of the Nazis was Maximilian Kolbe. Maximilian Kolbe was a saintly Polish Franciscan priest. He did outstanding work for the Church and gently yet firmly withstood Hitler's regime. And for this, Father Kolbe was eventually sent to Auschwitz, one of the most brutal concentration camps. There, Father Kolbe lived in the midst of the inhuman misery. This included heavy manual labor on a starvation diet, abuse, insults, regular beatings, and the constant threat of death. While in Auschwitz itself, Father Kolbe encouraged his fellow prisoners to bear their sufferings as the means to gain heaven. Now at Auschwitz, the Nazis had promised many times that if ever a prisoner escaped, 10 more prisoners would be selected to be starved to death. The prisoners selected would be locked in a special house and endure the slow, painful death of starvation, for they would be deprived of both food and water. Ordinarily, hunger would be felt first, but after some time, it was the thirst that would make life a living nightmare. As water is the most basic human need, lacking water is one of the most cruel of tortures. Many of those selected for these starvation deaths would be driven insane by the agony of pain. Screams of hatred, cries for food and water, pleas for mercy would fill the air around these miserable huts. Now, after Father Kolbe had been in Auschwitz for some time, 3 prisoners escaped at one time. And so the Nazis had all the prisoners line up, and they selected 10 men for death by starvation. Father Kolbe was not one of those chosen, but one of the men near him in the line was. When this particular man was chosen, the condemned man cried out, "My wife, my children." The soldiers then led him away, but as he was passing Father Kolbe, Father Kolbe immediately stepped out of line. He called to the officer in charge and offered himself in place of the condemned man. His offer was accepted, and so for the next 2 weeks, Father Kolbe lived in the wretched starvation house. Like all the others, Father Kolbe and the rest were given no food and no water. However, there was a difference in this group. The sounds of screams, curses, pleas for mercy were entirely absent. Instead, Father Kolbe led the other prisoners in prayers, the rosary, and Catholic hymns. He encouraged them to persevere. In this peaceful atmosphere of prayer, the prisoners succumbed to death one by one, until only a few were left alive, including Father Kolbe. Finally, too impatient for this slow death, the Germans injected the condemned with poison. Thus, Father Kolbe died. But, my dear faithful, he had already accepted such a death before, not just when he offered to trade places, but actually 5 years before. You see, in 1938, before the war began, Father Kolbe foresaw it, when few others did. Of it, he warned his friars, "Whatever may happen, all will be for our good." Father Kolbe explained himself as he said, "Exterior and interior sufferings can serve only to sanctify us." Thus, Father Kolbe foresaw the sufferings that would come, both to him and his friars, and he welcomed these sufferings, because he knew his friars would accept these sufferings for the love of God. Sadly, my dear faithful, it was not so for our Lord in today's gospel. Today's gospel records one of the few times when our Lord wept. Our Lord wept, for he foresaw the fall of Jerusalem would come only 40 years from that time. This would be the Jews' punishment for the rejection of Christ, the Messiah. Christ wept over the tremendous destruction and death that would fill the city of Jerusalem. However, he wept even more over the fact that so many would suffer so much, not only in this life, but in the next life as well. So many, for their rejection of him, would suffer so much more, so much worse torments in hell for all eternity. That is what filled our Lord's most sacred heart with such sorrow that he, God himself, wept publicly. What tears our Lord must weep now over our modern world. So much sin covers our world. The modernists have seized the visible institutions of the church and have corrupted the faith and morals in the hearts and minds of so many Catholic people. Politicians seem bent on evil and leading our country into greater and greater depravity. Immodesty and impurity, anger and rage, even such a vile sin as unnatural vice pervades the media. Naturally, we are outraged at this gross immorality, just as Maximilian Kolbe was at the evils of the Nazi regime. Father Kolbe withstood the Nazis and was imprisoned and put to death for it. And yet, he showed only kindness to the Nazis themselves. He foresaw much of what the Hitler regime would do to the church. He knew Hitler would wage a veritable war on Catholicism, that many Catholics would be killed even amongst his own friars. And yet, Father Kolbe told his Franciscans, all would be for the good. The reason for this was that he was certain he and his friars would use the evil of the Nazi regime to sanctify themselves. The Franciscans would become saintly, for they would follow our Lord's way of the cross so closely by their sufferings and offer them as sacrifice for souls. And we, my dear faithful, are to do the same. We do not suffer a physical persecution, but there is a moral persecution. Catholicism is mocked, ridiculed, and insulted. The God-given laws of the church are condemned as medieval, archaic, and backwards. We live in a world much like Maximilian Kolbe's, and like him, all is for the good. In the face of such an enormity of sin as we behold in our modern world, we should be the ones to bring good out of it by showing our Lord that we at least do love him and follow after him. That means we must live our own lives according to the laws of God. We should, like our Lord, have sorrow for the sins of men, and pray that they be converted. But above all, we must preserve our souls in the state of grace. Temptation, injustice, persecution, these are the sufferings of this life. Accept them for the love of God and of souls. And as Father Colby promised, they can serve only to sanctify us. These are trials allowed by God for our sanctification. Our Lord lamented over Jerusalem because the people did not recognize the things that are to their peace. The Jews rejected our Lord and thus rejected God and the eternal peace of heaven. Let us not fail like them, my dear faithful. Let us accept the trials, crosses, and sufferings of this life. And so when you have some cross to carry, a sorrow in this life, or when temptation assails you, offer this suffering to our Lord. Turn to Him, ask Him for strength to carry the cross for love of Him. And when you hear some new tragedy on the news, or see another travesty against the laws of God, bring good out of this evil. Offer your heart to our Lord. Pray as our Lord did for the poor souls that are so lost in the confusion of the modern world. Use a short prayer such as, "My Jesus, mercy." Comfort the Sacred Heart, my dear faithful, for there are so few who do today. So many have rejected Him and His infinite love for them. You, at least, my dear faithful, make up for the sins of men by living your life comforting our Lord's most Sacred Heart. And such a life lived for God, will bring you such peace, both in this life and in the next. Our Lord will look upon you and find one, at least one heart that loves Him. He will then shower His graces upon you because He is never outdone in generosity. Struggle now then to bear your crosses for the love of Christ. And you will one day receive the eternal reward waiting for you in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.